Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Scarycast. It is
hello
August the 10th here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It is August the 9th in West Hollywood, California. And tonight we've got as our guest the one and only Devin Tate. Devin, how are you tonight?
Woo, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. As a lot of people know, but I'll remind everybody, I'm, as one of the owners of Carolina Caricatures, we are on the boardwalk and the boulevard in downtown in the busiest block of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And it was wild, crazy, and so much fun. Met a lot of great people. We have actually a number of them said they were going to listen to us on Scarycast tonight. So it was wonderful. And before I officially introduce you, and I know you've already been participating, we're glad you're here, I want to just give everybody two big reminders. They're very important about Comic-Cons that I am producing. Number one, the Cape Fear Comic-Con, the grand old Cape Fear Comic-Con, in its fifth year, will be August the 25th at the Coastline Conference Center in Wilmington, North Carolina, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check that, all the information out on CapeFearComicCon.com, or just go to Facebook and / Cape Fear Comic-Con. So it's going to be awesome. The next big, big, interesting reminder is that October 19th, 20th, and 21st is the second annual Bigfoot Day and the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. We will have such luminaries as the She-Squatchers, Matt Delf from Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization. We're going to have Zach Scarrett. We're going to have Alex Bob, codename Bigfoot Bob. We're going to have John Dixon from Tennessee MUFON, and a very special guest along with the She-Squatchers. We got the ladies that are going to tear it up. We will have Angelia Scher, who is the executive director and president of Tennessee MUFON. That's the Mutual UFO Network. She's out of Nashville. She will be there with us in Kingsport, Tennessee. That is October 19th, 20th, and 21st. The 19th, 20th, we will have, of course, the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference. And on the 20th and 21st, we'll have the Bigfoot Comic-Con. We'll have vendors. We'll still have the celebrities there. It's going to be a boatload of fun. So please, everybody, come join us. And then, of course, one other new thing that's on the calendar, the International Krampus Night Festival, Camden, South Carolina, at historic Camden Battlefield area. It's going to be a blast. We've got 400 acres. We've got the Joseph Kershaw House. We've got the tavern. That's going to be a blast, and the lighted Christmas village. So November the 30th / December 1st, the International Krampus Night Festival in Camden, South Carolina. That's only about 22 miles from downtown Columbia, South Carolina. So we're going to have a blast. More on that. But right now, we've got to get to the guest of honor tonight, Devin Tate. Good evening.
Hello.
Welcome to Scarycast.
Good evening.
We're so glad to have you. Now, you and I met under very suspicious circumstances. Actually, we met in what I call one of the best ways possible. I was busy putting together Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, and the whole theme was horror. Of course, I'm a huge Addams Family fan, and one morning, I happened to find an Addams Family documentary. Now, what is the name of that documentary so that everybody knows? I can't remember the exact title myself.
You know, I don't remember the exact title either, and I was just looking at it the other day, but it's on Volume 2 of the Addams Family DVD set.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. And you
I think it's called Mad. It might be called Mad About the Addams.
That's correct. I remember that now, Mad About the Addams. So I'm going to be looking at it. And Devin, can I be honest?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm looking at it. There were five or six, maybe seven guests. The documentary was filmed when? When was that filmed?
Gosh, that must have been, it was between 2005 and 2010. Let's just say 08, maybe.
08. That's a good compromise. So I said, you know what? This guy Devin Tate looks like he might be on Facebook, because you were absolutely youngest guest commentator, you were listed as an Addams Family fan and expert. So being
yes.
the resourceful dude that I can be sometimes, I went to Facebook and I found you. Number one, thank you for not having 5,000 friends so I could actually send you a friend request. Then I said, I want to talk to you. And you know what? Facebook's been really good to me. And you responded back later that afternoon because you're on West Coast time. And when I messaged you, it was probably 10, it was probably 7 your time, and you likely don't get on Facebook at 7 a.m. Is that correct?
No, I'm still sleeping then.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, we're glad you answered. We've been talking ever since, and it's been so much fun getting to know you. You are currently, your professional life is in West Hollywood, California, correct?
Well, it is in Hollywood, California, which is, there's now an important difference because it has been in the media a lot lately due to a star on the Walk of Fame. So a lot of people are wondering that distinction between West Hollywood and Hollywood. Hollywood is part of the city of Los Angeles. West Hollywood is its own separate, complete separate city. And I actually live right on the borderline, but I do live in Los Angeles and I work in Hollywood, which is part of Los Angeles.
All right, now I've got an important question. You know what? It's terrible. I guess I'm so conceited. I think all of my questions are important, but this is a very important question to me. One of the best friends
okay.
that I've ever had is Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. His real name
mm-hmm.
is Rob Kellum. He was a superstar for WCW. Now, he's my buddy from Jacksonville, North Carolina. He is a star
mm-hmm.
at every single Comic-Con that I put on. He is my number one co-host for Comic-Con Stars, which, of course, I'm going to have. That's another podcast that I do. We'll have you on there sooner than later. But Rob has the wonderful fortune of having as his uncle, actually his great uncle, but you just go ahead and call him an uncle. His
mm-hmm.
uncle is Gorgeous George Wagner, the guy that created the idea of the villain in wrestling, a world
uh-huh.
champion, and one of the greatest wrestlers in history. And Rob and I have talked because I'm always up for honoring great people. In, I believe, 1955 and 1956, George Wagner, Gorgeous George, was listed as the highest paid entertainer in the world in 55
oh, wow.
and 56. He won
uh-huh.
the Boston AWA World Heavyweight Championship from Don Eagle in 1950. In my opinion, one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. It's on YouTube. I've got a link to it on Comic-Con Stars website. But Gorgeous George
mm-hmm.
was the first superstar. He was the first, whenever he came out in front of thousands of people, people wanted to go at him with knives and guns. He was the most astonishing performer, wrestler, and entertainer and personality. He was the first. You know, I mean,
yeah.
We love Judy Garland. Judy Garland back in 38, when she, 37 and 38, when she was doing The Wizard of Oz, I mean, it wasn't, you know, we didn't have this kind of thing. But George Wagner,
yeah.
Gorgeous George was the best. And I've talked with Rob
mm-hmm.
Kellum, and I'll bring this back up again on Comic-Con Stars next week. But one of my life goals, funding, to get Gorgeous George a star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh,
and,
yes, I see.
And it's something that there are a couple of things that are life projects for me that I'm committed
yeah.
to because I want, you know, when I get out of here, there are a couple of things I want to be known for, and I think they're very worthwhile. Number one, right, which has come to the forefront, is creating a historic golf course at the Camden, South Carolina battlefield where they had one of the major Revolutionary War battles. And one of the
mm-hmm.
other ones is, of course, to get George Wagner, Gorgeous George, a star on the Hollywood Walk. I don't know if I'll
yes.
ever get one. I doubt if I'll ever deserve one, but I'll tell you what, that man did.
he is, you know, was one of the greatest entertainers and wrestlers ever. So I tell you what we'll do, if it's all right, not tonight, but sometime, if you can get me some information, I'd like for us to move that forward. I know that his nephew, Rob Kellum, is thrilled about the idea, and I want to, and since Rob is one of my best friends, he's, you know, just, you know, you can't find people as good as Rob Kellum, Papa Stroh Maestro, anywhere. And I want to let him know that I've talked about this with you. You can at least help me figure out how we could get going, correct?
Yes, I definitely can. And, you know, I bet you could do some crowdfunding and, you know, get people to chip in. And I think that might be a reasonable goal that you could accomplish.
Well, thank you very much. And I would, I'm going to be really presumptuous and see if I might not draft you to be on my committee. I won't ask you for a yes or no right now, but I'll talk to you later. But just know that you're a candidate.
I will
to
look
be on
into
that
for sure.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, and I think that's important, especially Maestro Rob Kellum has been such a good friend to me. He is the star of every event that I've got. He's one of the most popular figures here in the Mid-Atlantic area in wrestling. So anything that I can do to honor him and his family, I'm all about it. I think that's what's important for us to do, is to really to honor him. And so that was just an aside, maybe a little more than an aside, but just something I'd like to do. So thanks for listening here on Scary Cast. And we'll talk about that later, okay? Good. Now, I wanted, because a lot of people don't know you, I've gotten to meet you and talk with you a lot. First of all, you're listed a number of places as a comedian. So tell us about that. You're
pretty
damn funny.
I did not. You were the first person to bring this to my attention. I was not aware of that. I can't imagine. Maybe there's somebody else with my name out there, because I definitely don't consider myself a comedian. I've never done stand-up or anything like that.
So you're not a comedian.
I am not a comedian.
Well, I don't know, but you've been pretty funny since I've been talking to you. So, but
I appreciate that.
Okay,
I was always kind of like a class clown, you know, when I was younger. So maybe that has carried over, and maybe I've gotten recognition for that now, apparently.
Well, that's good. Well, I'll tell you what, I've got some bad jokes. Maybe you and I can work together, because we want to get you over here on the East Coast. Number one, you're
right.
You play a lot of you play a number of musical instruments, and very well, don't you?
Thank you. Well, I wouldn't brag, but I do play a number of instruments. I sing, I'm a songwriter, so that is my kind of main thing, yeah.
Well, good. Well, what you and I had talked about earlier, and I hadn't mentioned this yet, the date's not announced, but we are putting together the Transylvania Comic-Con. It's going to be in Transylvania, North Carolina, right outside of Asheville, and it's going to focus, the theme this year is the Universal Monsters, which, of course, Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, the Phantom of the Opera, and of course, the Bride of Frankenstein. We can't leave Elsa Lancaster out, and especially we can't leave out the Creature from the Black Lagoon, because one of my partners in this marvelous crime of a Comic-Con is the Kilted Creature, R.J. Grace.
Ooh, yeah.
He's from Lake Toxaway, and he's very popular on the Comic-Con circuit. He dresses up as the Creature from the Black Lagoon. He plays heavy metal, and he plays water songs like Purple Rain. Now, he was a featured guest at the Lizard Man Festival, and good Lord, he was popular. And so he and his wife, Cindy, I mean, they're marvelous friends. I like them so much. They're helping me put this together, and hopefully you can come over for that one. Frankly, I want to get you over quicker than that, because I think people in the mid-Atlantic area would enjoy meeting you and getting to hang out
with
you.
The Krampus event sounds fun. I might have to see if I can make that happen.
You know, it's so funny. I was getting ready to ask you the Krampus Festival.
Yeah.
So let's rewind.
Really
let's rewind for 30. Let's rewind for 30 seconds. Disavow what you just said. Hey, Devin, if your schedule warrants it, could we see if we could get you the Krampus Festival? How about that?
I would love to do that. That sounds amazing. I love Krampus, and I love the holidays, so that would be awesome.
Good. You see, and I just proved that you and I can rewind history.
Yes, we can. We have that power.
I'm just so stupid. Well, I think I can sometimes. Listen, I've talked to Andy Basiago. I believe he went back to see the Lincoln assassination. And anyway, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. But, yeah, we'd love to get you over here this year in 2018 because I think it'd be a lot of fun to have you, and you're an entertainer. And also, the reason that I talked to you about the Transylvania Comic-Con is we were going to put together an impromptu band. RJ, the Kilted Creature, is going to play guitar. I will play piano. And then some dude from California was going to play congas or something, some type
of
drums.
Yes,
that might be you, right?
Some hand percussion. Yeah, I think that would be amazing. I love to play drums and percussion, so I love to jam.
Well, we will definitely jam, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. We'll try to get you here a couple days early so that we can practice. And we'll definitely get some we'll definitely get some publicity for that, because a lot of people follow RJ. I've got a number of people follow me, and I know you do too. So I think we'll have an interesting, hopefully at least a Facebook Live on that. So that'd be a lot of fun. So anyway, about all I've gotten to do so far is invite you to be on the committee to put Gorgeous George on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and come over to the Transylvania Comic Con and the in the Krampus Festival. So I haven't even gotten to talk to you about why we started talking, which is a great, great reason. Yep. When I was growing up, there was a man named Charles Adams, and he had recently switched over from Playboy to the New Yorker, writing what is considered the greatest serial comic strip or comic in history, which is the Addams Family.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind that the Addams Family will long outlive everything but The Far Side by Gary Larson. I think Gary Larson is an absolute genius, but Charles Addams dwarfs everybody. And you were on that Mad About the Addams Family because you were an expert and you were a fan and you were talking about things and you've studied them. You've thought about them, you've loved them, and I think it's a wonderful time to have you on the show. So I'm going to give you a little bit of uninterrupted time and talk to us about what you love about the Addams Family, the family from 0001 Cemetery Lane.
Sure. Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show, and thank you for finding me from that obscure documentary. I really appreciate that. I tend to be a little fanatic about the things that I like and the things that I get into, and there's not a lot of them, but when I find something that I kind of cling on to, I do tend to absorb everything I can about it. So this was back around 1991 when the movie version, Addams Family, came out. And I saw it in the theater pretty early in its run, and I just fell in love with everything about it. So after that, then I did get into the cartoon. And it's funny that you mentioned Far Side, because I was a big fan of the Far Side back when it was, in that time, in the 90s. And then I went back and I found the Addams Family, serial after I had seen the movie. First I saw the movie, then I saw the television show from the 60s, and then I went back to the actual strip by Charles Adams. So that's kind of my history and timeline with it. And, when they were about to do the release on DVD, I was in a band at that time, and we had a club night in West Hollywood that happened once a month. And we had different themes and different guest musicians come perform at this lesbian club called The Palms, which is sadly no longer there. But we were going to do an Addams Family night. So it was a whole themed night on the Addams Family. My band all dressed up like members of the family. And that's how I kind of got connected with the people who were putting together the DVD. And so
when they were doing
the documentary.
Hold on. I'm going to interrupt because I always do that. You said it was at that famous club, the Palms.
Yes.
It took a lot of other clubs to get a lot of publicity to beat that out. That was an enormously famous club. It was talked all about in magazines because, you know, we're talking about, you know, before the internet was the absolute source of news. That was an enormously popular. I mean, that was a Studio 54 in the LA area, correct?
Yeah, it was many different things through the years, but it was LA's oldest gay bar, or it's rather West Hollywood's, but the area. And it went through a lot of different phases. And Jim Morrison from The Doors used to hang out there very frequently.
Oh, wait a second. Tomorrow, I'm going to send you a picture. We have several Jim Morrison posters. These are the originals here in downtown Myrtle Beach. I will take, because I'll be on the boardwalk tomorrow night, I will take you pictures of those and send those to you because, you know, it means a lot to have, even if you don't have the original, to just have pictures of the originals. But these are two original posters about the Doors playing and Jimmy Morrison. So I'll send those to you tomorrow, okay?
That would be great, yeah.
All right, back to you. I'm sorry. I will inevitably always interrupt, but it's only for good reason.
No,
go ahead.
Please interrupt. And if you have any questions or if anything I say reminds you of the question or anything, please feel free to interrupt because that's pretty much my spiel, you know. Then I was on the DVD feature and, you know, got to relive all those episodes when they were released on DVD. And that's been a while, too. That's been about 10 years, you know, probably since that came out. So I think it's time for some sort of Addams Family resurgence. It did have the Broadway musical that did pretty well. It even came to Hollywood. It was at the Pantages Theater back in 2012, I believe. Maybe 2013. That was kind of the last big iteration of Addams Family, and I think it's due for a resurgence. So I'm glad that you, kind of had the brilliance to tie them with steampunk and have them at your steampunk festival.
Yeah, here's what happened, and I'll jump in on this one, because you were an expert on the Addams Family, based on what I saw in that documentary. I did the personal interview with you when I said, all right, tell me, when I say personal interview, that is, all right, tell me what you think because I need some information to make my event better. So I said, Devin, because I saw it, I could just see this steampunk cloud over the Addams. And I said, what's steampunk? And the first words out of your mouth were, well, it's Uncle Fester. And God, we love Jackie Coogan. Coogan was, even though he was well known, but he was not famous until he became Uncle Fester. And his career went berserk. I mean, he was well known. He was an actor. He was a caricature. He was not caricature. He was a character actor. But when he became Fester, I can't remember the last name that they used for him in the TV show, but that did everything for Jackie Coogan's career. All of a sudden, everybody recognized him for all the work that he had done, and it was. You told me it was because Fester was the inventor, and he was. And there's a lot about steampunk that's about inventing, and go ahead. You know. Tell us, you know, I think the thing I'd like for you to do right now, talk to us about Gomez, Morticia, Fester, and of course Wednesday and Pugsley. And I'll remind you if we forget any of them, but those are the five. I mean, of course, there's Grandmama Blossom Rock, was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody knew who she was, and she just exploded on television and was one of the funniest characters there. But would you be okay to tell us about the five major characters that we absolutely love? Let's start with, first of all, Carolyn. Ellen Jones is listed as the star. She's got the top bill.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do not know that Carolyn Jones had stage 4 cancer and had to sleep a lot and was always in pain. Yet she was the goddess of Morticia Adams. Take it away, sir.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, I think obviously she might have been able to draw from that pain in her acting because she did kind of have this sense of the macabre and not so much sadness, but the dark side of things. So, but yet she had such a love and a zeal for that. Like, you know, you hate to say a zest for life because it's kind of like the afterlife maybe that she had the zesting for. But, yeah, she was very sultry without being overly, you know, she wasn't sexual. It was more, she was so loving with her husband, and they were such a monogamous, you know, force to be reckoned with. So, and I think everybody, that's kind of what everybody would want for their mom, you know, somebody who's just very much in love with her and in love with life and the family and taking care of the home and a great mother too, very involved and loving of her children. Then on the, you know, her kind of counterpart, Gomez, he's a little more rambunctious, a little more wild than she is. She has to rein him in a lot. He goes overboard very easily, and she has to kind of, you know, bring him back down to the ground. But they make a good couple in that way because they kind of bounce ideas off of each other and, you know, they really, it's oddly one of the most healthy family representations that we had back in those days because on sitcoms back then, you know, the husband and wife didn't even usually sleep together. You didn't even know if they liked each other because half the time the jokes were about each other, you know. So I think everybody wanted them to be their parents kind of, but especially if you were a kid that was a little bit different like I was very weird in many different ways. They make you feel like you would fit in there.
You know, that's really a great statement. And I guess one thing that for some reason I remember it, but I don't think it's part of this time stream, is that Gomez and Morticia were sitting there, and he said, "Well, Morticia, what's for dinner?" And we heard, chop, chop. I said, "What's that?" She said, "Oh, well, we're having lady fingers tonight. I guess we're harvesting them." And now, for some reason, I remember that, but I don't think it's in, you know, who knows where I remembered it from. Maybe it was an alternate time stream. But I just always pleasantly remember that we're having lady fingers. And that's a... You know, I think there's a whole brand, but there's a whole way of treating comedy that Morticia would. And she was just so good at it. It was so funny when Gomez walks in looking all disheveled, terrible. And he says, "Morticia, Fester has figured out my problem." And she says, "Oh, darling, what is that?" Gomez says, "He says I just need to shoot myself, so I'm going to go get a gun." And she says, "Oh, that's wonderful. I'll go watch." Now,
yeah, see, I love that.
What kind of brilliant comedy is that? I mean, you know, I don't care what people think about, you know, mores or you know, whatever. I mean, that is just damn funny. It really
is.
Well,
that was kind of a genius. Yeah, they were really able to take, they were really able to set up the joke so that the punchline would be her saying opposite of what most people would say, but yet exactly what she would say. And she just landed them all the time.
Right, and I've got to do one more because I've got to give credit to the folks that wrote the movie. And it was the Addams Family. I think it was toward the end of the first one when Little Wednesday was at camp. And some pretty older lady said, "Oh, you're so cute. What do wonderful little girls like you think of?" And Wednesday looked at her and said, homicide. And that, honestly, that's something, I mean, that's not something that I have to remember. That's just part of my psyche. I think that's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. And it's like, homicide.
Yeah.
And the way she said it, the delivery was.
I mean, Christina Ricci took that role and just took it to, you know, kind of a whole nother level. Lisa Loring did a great job, you know, in the television series. But to take it into, A, off the small screen onto the big screen for a movie, and B, you know, decades later in the 90s, you know, I think that she just did such an amazing job with that. And that was really her breakout role for Christina Ricci.
And honestly, anyone that got cast in that, that was a life changer. It really was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, congratulations to her and just the brilliance of her. Now, you told me that we've got one other character. I said it correctly because I say character all day. But we have one other character that a lot of people loved, and he was portrayed by Ken Weatherwax Jr., none other than Pugsley Adams. Now, don't you have an associate that worked on honoring Ken Weatherwax Jr. and Pugsley?
He did. I do. Yes, my good friend Scott Michaels. He is a pretty well known figure in kind of the Hollywood dark side of things. So he owns a company called. Yes.
Sorry, you mean Hollywood, right?
Yes, exactly. So he actually has an awesome company. It's a tour company, and they have a museum and gallery right across the street from the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which is kind of a must-visit site when you come to L.A. So as long as you're there, just cross the street and go to Dearly Departed. This is free advertising for him. But yes, several years ago, he also has a website called findadeath.com. So on Find a Death, it kind of tells the story of the demise of, you know, many, many celebrities, and a lot of them have really interesting, cool stories of how they came to pass from this world. So through that, you know, he's done a lot of work kind of honoring a lot of celebrities that, you know, they, for whatever reason, they died years after they were famous, and so a lot of them didn't have a lot of money or a lot of people around them by that time, and so he's helped honor them with, you know, memorials and markers. So he did arrange a kind of a fundraising effort to have a memorial and honor Ken Weatherwax.
And to me, that's a little strange because Ken Weatherwax Jr., who played Pugsley, his father was the major provider of animals, like exotic animals like lions, tigers, snakes, all of Hollywood. So it seems kind of weird. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but, you know, it seems kind of weird that they had to do that, but I'm glad they did. Does Pugsley or Ken Wax Jr., does he have any kids that are still around?
You know, I don't know that. I might have known that at some point, but I don't know right now.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, being the former college professor and always loving to give assignments, do you think you could check that out and see if there are any kids? Because I would love for us. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think you'd like to maybe join us and talk to some of these fun people and everything on ScaryCast? What do you think?
Yeah, of course. That would be
well,
great.
Well, that'd be good. You know what? I didn't want to ask you. I just decided I'd go ahead and ask you tonight. Well, good. So we'll talk about that, and I'd love to have you join our cast of characters, as I call them. But the first thing I'd like for us to do, if you're interested, let's try to find any living relatives of Ken Weatherwax and Ken Weatherwax Jr. And let's talk to them and see what they think, because I'll bet they have some incredible perspective about Hollywood and the Addams Family that other people don't.
Oh, for sure.
So if you're interested, could we, like, do some planning on that one? Would that be okay?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Well, good. I'm sorry. I guess I tried to entrap you here live, but yeah, it's great. I think it'll be fun to have you on board, and we'll have a great time. There's so much that needs to be explored. Like, that particular question might not really have been answered by a lot of people. Do you agree?
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Again, like I say most of the time, we'll talk about that after the show. But thanks for at least agreeing to consider to come on board, because I think you'd be a lot of fun. You know a lot of people that I don't know. I know a lot of people. Well, I know a lot of people that nobody wants to know. But they're still fun anyway. Is that okay?
Yeah. I think that would be great. And, yeah, I mean, I've lived in Hollywood for 18 years, so I'm not a name dropper or a hobnobber, but, you know, I do have some interesting run-ins and acquaintances that I've made throughout the years. So I would be happy to help connect you.
All right. Well, good. No, us. We don't connect me. We always connect both of us. But now here's my question.
Yes.
I just thought about it. I have a distinct love and respect for that restaurant called the Brown Derby. Is it still there?
Well, there were quite a few Brown Derbies. So I think that one of them is still here down on Wilshire. Now, I think it's been moved and it's been kind of renovated and probably looks very little like it did before. But I do believe there is one left. I have not been to it. It doesn't look anything like it used to, and it's not that type of a place, if I'm correct. There was one in Hollywood. It is where a Trader Joe's now stands and a Wells Fargo Bank.
How horrible. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for saying that?
I forgive you. I, of course, couldn't make any statement like that because the owner of that property is on the board of directors for the company I work for. So I will recuse myself from any comments.
So you can say, John, just be quiet and go on, okay?
Well, I mean, you know, the reality is, you know, there's a lot of people fighting for preservation, and, you know, a lot of people do bemoan when places that were famous and important at one point in history are no longer there, and that is sad and unfortunate, but the reality is, you know, in a city, things grow and change, and something that was, you know, at a certain period in time might not be able to weather changes that come, you know, throughout time. And sometimes things do. So rather than, you know, get caught up in the things that have disappeared, I like to steer people to go appreciate the things that are still there. So we do still have Musso and Frank, a restaurant in Hollywood, which has been active since 1919. And I always recommend anybody, if you want to feel like you've transported back into the golden age of Hollywood, just walk through the front door there.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Well,
it is. Yeah, it's a very cool spot.
Pounding and thumping my chest, you come over to Myrtle Beach, and we will go see if we can talk to Earl Owensby, who is one of the greatest movie producers in history on the East Coast. And I'll get more about that. I really want to get Earl on the show. I was responsible for the induction that he had into the North Carolina Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame. So we need to talk to Earl because he was a god of movies. So I think there are a lot of folks that you know and that I know. I think we can have fun talking to him, and I think people will enjoy it. So anyway, first of all, we're not closing. I just wanted to, like, recap. Thanks for being here. Number two, thanks for telling us about the Addams Family. And now, number three, I always try to break up something into three segments. What are you up to now? What kind of projects are you looking at doing? And go from there, kind sir.
Sure. So I have four big things I'm working on at the moment, so I'll just touch briefly on all of them. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have to keep busy. It's like part of my personality. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have a solo album, an electronic music album coming out soon, before the end of the year, probably. I'm also in a Bananarama cover band, male fronted, so it's called Boynanarama.
No. Bananarama. Oh my God, you're talking about one of my favorite bands ever. Oh my God.
Yeah, so, well, this is right up your alley then, hopefully. We have a ton of fun with it. It's just a real celebration. It's a party-type atmosphere. And it's, you know, me and it's three guys are the front, and then we do have two amazing backup female singers because there are a lot of high notes, you understand, in Bananarama songs. So as much as we would love to hit them, we really need a little help from the females to kind of give it that proper sound. And one of the females happens to be Gretchen Bonaducci, who is about to release a book of her own about her time married to Danny Bonaducci from the Partridge Family. I believe that book is coming out next week, actually.
So now how is he – now it's coming out next week?
I believe so.
Well, all right, let me ask you this. Can you let me know, can you find out when it's coming out, and could we meet again maybe next week for at least part of the time on ScaryCast and talk about it? Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Sure. I'm going to a book release party for her on Tuesday. So I think that's when it's released, but I'm not completely positive. But it will be there, so I guess that means it's available. So I'm going to say it's Tuesday, but I will check back on that and let you know. And speaking of that, so I mentioned two projects I have. I am also writing a book too. So that's going to be kind of I'm calling it a farmoir because it's like a memoir, but it's from my time growing up on a farm in the middle of nowhere in a town called Paradise, Kansas, where my cousins, who we grew up with, were called the Angels. Their last name was literally Angel, and we lived in Paradise. And I have a lot of stories about that time. So this is going to be my first actual real book, so I'm excited about that. So that's the third project. And then lastly, I'm in another band. I play drums in a band, a rock band, and we are back together after about 8 years apart, and we are going to be playing out soon.
Wow, that's great. What's the name of that band?
That band is called Invisible Material. And our tagline for our reunion show is still invisible after all these years.
Oh, my God. You and Paul Simon.
You know, it was great because we got together about 10 years ago. We lasted for about 3 or 4 years. And one night we had this gig at the Viper Room, the famous Viper Room on Sunset Boulevard, where River Phoenix unfortunately passed away right on the sidewalk next to it. And there was a huge crowd, and people were so into it, and we thought, this is it. Like, we've made it. We're playing a huge crowd at the Viper Room. So they asked us to come back in a month. So we came back in a month. It happened to be about the day after Thanksgiving, and there was about 4 people there. So we realized we hadn't made it anywhere.
Well, it sounds like to me you're going to make some incredible whatever. Now, I tell you what, we have got a caller in from area code 845. I don't know who it is. Can I say hello to him and see if they have a question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
gentlemen, how are you?
All right. Hey, who's this?
This is Mike from New York, and I noticed that you have an expert on the Addams Family on, and I just had a quick question. I'm a collector, and collect some oddball
wonderful
things. But anyways, I always, as a kid growing up, used to watch the original Addams Family, the TV series. I don't see any of the props available for sale. I see some in some virtual museums, but what happened to all the props? Did they just, after they closed the series, did they just trash everything, throw it out?
God, you know, I would have to look into that. I for some reason, I think I read that a lot of things got reused or, you know, sold off after the show was done. So I'm sure some of them still exist somewhere. It might just make it harder to find if they weren't really, you know, properly archived or taken care of. But I could ask friend Scott, or you could go to findadeath.com and get in touch with Scott. He would probably know more about this than I do.
Because well, it's funny that I see a lot from Lost in Space and a lot of the other series is I see a lot of that stuff still floating around, but you're hard-pressed to find the stuff from the original series. I just, you know, thanks for that.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
they
know,
did sell it off.
Too.
Maybe it's
I
in collections. Know. Who knows?
Yeah, you know, another person I could ask, I go to a lot of events at the Hollywood Museum. It's a museum on Hollywood Boulevard that has a lot of props and costumes and artifacts from different TV shows and movies throughout the years. And currently, they've had this really amazing Batman 66 exhibit. So it's all props and memorabilia and merchandise having to do with the Batman television series. So they would probably know if they had come across, you know, anything. I think it'd be great if they did an Addams Family exhibit and then see what they could find out of that collection.
That'd be great. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That would be great to set up something like that. And there were so many interesting props that they had on that show. It was a creative show.
Now, tell you what, this is Dr. John, and I've got some amazing news for you. When we did Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, there is a curio shop in Raleigh, North Carolina, that has hundreds of those props.
From the
guy that owns, yes. And I'm in the process of trying to buy a couple of things from him. So if you would email jwstamey@gmail.com, I will make sure I'll put you in touch with him. He's got a number of props and things that you could actually buy. So just
okay. What was your name? JW.
JWstamey, STAMEY@gmail.com, and if you'll email me, I will get you in touch with him. How's that?
You know what? I really appreciate that. I'm going to send it off. You're going to get one from Chefs. You'll see an email coming in from Chefs.
Sure. Absolutely. And number one or number two, thank you for joining us on the show. I mean, we really appreciate it. We've got Scary Cast is going to go through a real metamorphosis, and hopefully people can look at us as a reference for great things. You know, we're just so fortunate to have Devin Tate with us, and who Devin is going to be with us here in the near future. But yeah, just JWstamey, STAMEY.
I just sent it over to you.
Good.
Yep, I just sent it over. It's not really my field. I mean, what you guys are into and stuff. I mean, I had an interest in it. I mean, I'm a collector, but my main focus is World War II militaria. But I've collected over 55 years. I loan items to History Channel, to museums, to a lot of reference books. And it's hard to have a hobby that's not politically correct. Because of this day and age, instead of you're trying to explain to somebody that you're into history, and instead they want to tag you as some sort of a skinhead, and they don't get it. It's pretty frustrating, but it's interesting because the history, I mean, there's something that is for real. This really happened. This nightmare did exist. And so I like artifacts, but like that, I mean, from the Addams Family and TV shows that you watched when you were growing up, the Batman series, things like that, even older, the black and white Superman. I remember coming home from school and sitting down and watch that. Yes, I'm 62. Don't rub it in. But I, you know, time goes on. And unfortunately, some of these items are forgotten. And it's nice to see that generations are sort of picking up the flag sort of bit a little bit and remembering and looking into and saying, I want to know more about that. I want to know more about this. So it's not being forgotten, luckily.
Yes. Yes, and I know what you mean. I have a collector's item. It's a piece of the fireplace from the house where Sharon Tate was murdered, you know, back by the Manson clan. So, you know, a lot of people would not understand why that would be something one would want to have, but other people do get it. So, you know, we want.
I mean, it's a piece of history that's tangible, that it really did happen. You know, I mean, I was interviewed by the New York Times, and a lot of collectors told me, you know, they said, don't do it. Don't let them in your house. Because they're going to... They'll ruin you, because that's what they're looking for is flash headlines or something. And And the reporter, the first thing out of her mouth was, of course, oh, my God, there's Nazi stuff. Oh, my God. And I said, you know, understand one thing. Our soldiers were not glorifying these criminals when they brought this stuff home. These were war mm-hmm. trophies. We earned them. We beat them. So now the politically correct stuff's going to come in and say that these should be destroyed or that there's something wrong with me because I have more of an interest in that era and want to learn more than what's written in the books. Mm-hmm. And so it's – and there's – I mean, taking it over, and I don't want to get off topic, but taking it over, whether it's a TV show, a movie, or anything else, people, they say, well, how can he be so obsessed with Star Trek? I get it. I understand because it's a fascinating thing or any of these TV series or movies or something. I mean, the thought, the idea behind it and everything else. And having a piece of it, it does bring you closer to it, a better understanding of it. And it's a connection. It is a connection.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's, you know, humans, we have a lot of energy and a lot of attention and focus. And sometimes people have a lot of it. And, you know, you have to direct it somewhere. So if you can kind of, you know, be a fanatic about something, you're also a historian about it. You're preserving it, you're passing it on, and that's really important.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. I mean, plus I try to have fun with it. I mean, the only time I was on one collector's forum, that they had a gentleman, Richard Kimmel was his name. He wrote a book on, he was convinced, and he's a collector, he's convinced that every artifact we have in our collections is haunted. And I was like, oh, no, here we go, okay. And he's like, Mike, I want you to take a cassette deck and to put it in the middle of your room and leave it on record overnight. In the morning, you're going to hear voices. And I said, Richard, with all due respect, I don't need Amityville Nazi room. Thank you very much. I don't want levitating swords and daggers. I don't need that. But and if it ever happens, I'll start collecting Beanie Babies. And all
oh, come on.
I started laughing, all the guys. But, no. I don't know. I don't think it's that extreme. But, yeah, some people believe that stuff. I've never run into it, thankfully. I don't want to see a levitating mustache in the middle of my room when I walk in there. That's the last thing I want to see.
No, you but, don't? Now, come on. We would, now, listen, stop. We would all love to see a levitating mustache.
Oh, man. Now, do you think they'll ever do another Addams Family, another movie on it?
What do you
think? I
think
they will.
Devin?
I think they will. I mean, it's only a matter of time. Hollywood recycles everything. So the good thing about that is it is timeless, and it does lend well to translating, you know, as we saw with the 91 movie, that was a pretty, you know, pretty flawless transition from one
yes.
era into the next.
Yeah, that really was. They did a good job on that.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
Well, keep my fingers crossed. All
yeah.
right, well, listen,
well, yeah,
if you want, mute me so that I can keep listening in. I know I didn't mean to interrupt you guys, and I appreciate your time.
No,
and I emailed you. You should be getting the email pretty soon.
Sir, you are the reason that we're here. Because when we have people that want to call in, what I was going to ask you is, since we'll have your email, we'll keep you apprised of what's going on. Because Devin and I think you can go ahead. We can go ahead and talk about this. We've got some big plans about some things we're going to do, about you know, in working with fans, having everybody together, and doing some great things. And so, I mean, Devin, I think I guess you'll agree with me that we have a call in tonight that is really going to be a lot of fun as we move forward in this thing. Don't you think?
I do. Yep, it's going to be a great time.
Yep, and we'll keep you involved, and we want to keep all the people that call in involved because that's what it's all about. We got a lot of questions, we'll have a lot of answers, and we'll have a lot of fun. So,
do you have a Facebook page?
We have. It's called ScaryCast, and
Scary
we're going to be changing it. It'll be ScaryCast. I'll make sure that you get an email. We're going to be adding to the thing because Devin's going to be joining us, pretty soon, like maybe next week, too.
Yep.
So, Devin, is it okay to announce that?
Yep.
I have
September 6th on my calendar, but we'll see about doing it even earlier.
Yes.
All right, I just sent you
I think I just sent 6th just came earlier. And no, Devin's going to be joining us as my co-host for ScaryCast. and we'll keep you involved, sir, and we're going to have a great time as we explore
all the things in
Hollywood and on the East Coast and all the people that I know and all the people that Devin knows. And we're going to have a good time, and we'll keep you involved because that's what we want to do, is we want to keep our fans, those that are interested, we want to keep you involved, and we want you calling in. I've learned this from the world expert of involvement, Papa Stroh, Rob Shelton, the maestro. He certainly knows how to keep people involved, and that's why he and I have got so many friends that have come directly from his show. So that's what we're going to do here. So, yeah, I guess we're going to – I think we're going to keep Devin. He's a lot of fun. And we'll stay in touch with you. I'll reply to your email tomorrow, and we'll go forward from there.
And I just tried to make a post on your page so that way you know who I am. I put thanks because on Blog Talk Radio, I mean, there are a lot of whack jobs, so you never know who's who and if somebody's for real or not. So then you can see that I'm for real. I'm not a troll. And
pretty real. Devin, is it real to you?
What's that?
I said, Devin, does he seem real for you too?
He does. And I want to thank him also myself. Thank you for calling in. That's great.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for answering all my questions, gents.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm
happy. And we hope that you'll have more questions for us next week and the week after. So, look, thank you so much.
And
it's always a pleasant surprise. New people call in.
Great. Thanks. And please mute me so I don't interrupt you anymore, and I'll continue to listen in.
Well, keep listening in, and we're about done here. But thank you so much, and glad you came on to the new Scary Cast. So thanks a lot.
Yes.
Well, my pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon. And stay involved. And Devin, thank you very much for being on here tonight. We had a good time.
Yeah.
I'm glad to go ahead and announce it. You're going to be the new co-host, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And I'm so glad we've got people already calling in because I think they're interested in the Addams Family. They're interested in what you and I talk about. So we're going to bring a lot of value to people. And so I guess I will officially ask you back. Can you come back next week?
Thank you. I would love to.
Well, good. Well, I just don't want to mess around. I think you're going to be a lot of fun as a co-host. We both know a lot of people. And you and I will talk this week about some of the guests that we'll bring. So I guess it's about that time. I heard the clock tick. I heard the witch's sound and everything. So it might be time for this first and new version of Scary Cast to come to an end. But so Devin Tate, and Traders, and thank you so much.
Yeah, do we have an outro music or something? We got to get some theme music going on.
Okay, well, that's part of your job, okay? You're a musician.
I will work.
So,
yes, I will work on that angle.
So, darn you, you're going to have to take care of that. I'll take care of my things. You'll take care of your things. We'll take care of our things together. I'm so glad we had someone that called in and cared about what we were talking about, which is none other than the Addams Family. John Astin,
yes.
Carolyn Jones, Jackie Coogan, Ken Weatherwax Jr., Lisa Loring, Blossom Rock.
Yeah, and you know what? I have to add because you didn't mention two of my favorite characters, which is Lurch and Thing. So hopefully we'll talk about them next time.
Oh, well, for goodness sake, let's talk about them. And Ted Cassidy was, just incredible. So we'll talk about him and see if we can get – We'll see if we can get whoever we can on our show. So thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you.
And as usual, so that everybody knows, I always do a recap with all the guests and the co-hosts. So you'll get a call here in just a minute. But I wanted to say thank you. Thank you to all of our call-ins. Thank you for everyone that listened. We appreciate it. And we're moving forward. We're going to scare you because it's Scary Cat. Right? All right, take care, and I will talk to everybody, you and everyone included, next week. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later, Jensen.